I'm back. Je suis de retour. Welcome to another episode of It's All French to Me. So have you missed me? Est-ce que je t'ai manqué? I thought I would explain my absence. Don't worry, it's not the dreaded C word, COVID. The last time you heard an episode was my Christmas special, just before Christmas. So very early on in the new year, I received a letter to say that I had been allocated an allotment. En français, le lotissement. Un lotissement. So I'd been on the waiting list for about 3 years. So I was offered an allotment. And for anyone who knows me, I like to throw myself into a new project as much as possible. So I thought to myself, okay, I'll give the podcast a little break, get the allotment ready, and do some work on the allotment, because it really needed some work, actually. It was a bit of a jungle. So I've been working on that ever since. And I've been sort of thinking to myself, I've got to get round to restarting the podcast. So I thought, what better time than a celebration, which is leading up to Easter, or Le Pâques en français. So thank you so much to the thousands of listeners that all asked how I was, where I'd got to. You know, not one bloody person asked where I was. Not one single person sent me a message to say, when are we going to hear the new episode? So for all of you who didn't send a message of asking where I was, this episode's for you. I'm joking, of course I'm joking. So in this episode, I'm going to review, yes, you guessed it, another French comedy. A fabulous song by the French singer Zaz. I'm going to review one of my favourite shops in France, as well as a dish. And also, if there's time, I might talk about a great artwork that I love as well. So talking of Easter, in case anyone's interested how the French celebrate Easter, or Le Pâques, it is very similar to the rest of the world. I think the only thing missing, to be honest, is the Easter Bunny. I don't think that's really caught on in France yet. Having said that, also, different countries obviously celebrate in different ways. In the UK, we have the Simnel cake, which is unique to the UK and doesn't really get celebrated anywhere else. But they have, it's a very religious festival, obviously, like a lot of festivals in France. They have the traditional Easter dinner, where they eat lamb, like a lot of other places. They call that meal l'agneau pascal. And I think the idea is that lamb represents the new life. I know it sounds a bit horrible, and I do try to avoid eating lamb because I don't like the idea as much as possible. Having said that, I won't lie, I do like a nice leg of lamb. And in France, obviously, there has to be accompanied by a nice red wine as well. Like a lot of other places, chocolate's very high on the agenda. They have the Easter egg hunt, or la chasse aux œufs, as they call it. And I think the idea of the egg came from, unless I'm very much mistaken, please correct me if I'm wrong, because it's the religious festival and you're supposed to observe Lent, so you give something up for 40 days prior to Easter. I think the idea was that a lot of people gave up eggs in the past, and now and then at Easter time you were allowed to have the eggs. I think that's the idea. Chocolate was sort of introduced there at some point too. So whatever you're up to this weekend, I wish you a very happy Easter. Déjà vu film review. So for the film review this episode, you're really getting your money's worth. It's 3-in-1. So it's a series of French comedy films. The series are called Les Bronzés. This is a absolute cult classic French comedy series from the 70s. There were two made in the 70s, and there was a third made much later in 2006. A kind of reunion one. Literally translated, Les Bronzés are the sunbathers. The film premise is, so a group of friends that become acquainted at a Club Med holiday in the first film and then go on subsequent holidays in the second and third film. So the first one is just called Le Bronze. The second film is Le Bronze Font du Ski. So they go skiing. And then the third film is Le Bronze Trois Amis pour la Vie. Le Bronze Three Friends for Life. The first and second film are parodies for the typical type of people that you find at a Club Med holiday. You've got the different kind of characters, you know, those that are there just basically people who are there just for a good time and all the antics that they get up to. So there's a few love stories in there. It's a very funny film. I should mention that the group of actors are a group of friends in real life called, it's a comedy group called Le Splendide. So they consist of Josiane Balasko, Michel Blanc, Marianne Chazelle, Gérard Jugnot, Boris Johnston, not the UK PM, although I think he'd fit in quite well in one of these films, to be honest, and Christian Clavier, the fantastic Christian Clavier. So I've mentioned a few of those names in previous episodes from other films that they've been in. For example, Christian Clavier in Le Visiteur, and Josiane Balasko and Marianne Chazelle in and Gérard Huguenot in The Last Christmas episode, which I mentioned about Père Noël est un ordure. So the first one came out in 1978. It achieved $17.3 million at the box office. So one of the characters to look out for, if you are going to watch it, is the character of Popeye, who's this muscly guy who's just there to basically sleep with as many women as possible. It's kind of a challenge. And then his opposite is a character called Jean-Claude, who's like this nerdy guy, office worker from Paris, who's desperately trying to find a woman. It's very funny. The skiing film is just as funny, if not even funnier, actually. And the third one that I remember, they reunite because one of them has become quite famous and very rich, and they're all invited to her house. I need to watch it again, actually, because that third one's actually funny in a different style. It's not kind of a goofy parody; it's more of a comedy structured comedy film. So I think if you ask any French person to name a French comedy film, I think this is the one that will come straight to the forefront of their mind. And I think is a really good example of classic French comedy and the mindset and mentality of the French whilst on holiday. So if you get a spare second or two, definitely worth the watch. Hilarious. So once again, I am joined by Mr. Andy D. I also have the other half, of course, Miss Ruby.
Hello!
Chirping in. Strange accent there.
Hello.
So for this episode...
I didn't say hello. Should I say hello?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Thank you.
I think I'm becoming a bit regular on this,
you are,
this show.
You are. So the song this time was recommended by Mr. Andy D. Do you know what song it is?
Well, seeing as
I
recommended
just done that.
What's that?
Just seriously, just like put him on the spot like that, not telling him what.
Seeing as I recommended it.
Yeah.
No, I have no idea what the song is.
Classic, classic. Well, yeah, because you have recommended a few.
Have I?
In the past. You have, yeah.
Okay.
But this song is.
I can't remember that, but...
The fantastic Zaz. Ébloui par la nuit. Ébloui par la nuit. Ébloui par la nuit.
That's the one.
Yep, go for it, Andy.
Well,
review of the song.
Well, so, Ébloui par la nuit.
Yeah. Which the translation, in case you're wondering.
I was. Oh, no, I know.
No, you know it.
I think I know what it is. Is it blinded by the night?
That's right.
Should I explain that I am not in any way a French person or have any experience. No, that's not true. Any skills in the French language?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. I have minimal skills.
Yes.
In the French language.
Yep.
Sort of primary school, middle school. Oh, I don't know about that. Middle school skills in French language. No, because I didn't do French.
But I remember you getting by in the Moët Chandon factory in Épernay.
Well, that's just because I was pissed, probably. What fucking
you there, dear?
Anyhow, where were we? Eblouis par le... what is it? Eblouis par...
By... La
nuit. Eblouis par la nuit. Now...
Yes.
I first came across this song, randomly, on... I must have been just, like, on some streaming thing, like Apple Music or something. I can't even remember where I heard it.
Okay.
And I listened to it, and I thought, that's a nice song. So that's how that came about. No, I don't know. I can't remember where I first heard it.
When I first listened to it, I was just completely blown away because of the powerfulness of her voice. Because she's a very petite lady, I have to say.
Zaz.
Yeah. Is that a real name?
I doubt it, darling.
No.
Probably not.
No. Anyway, she's got a very distinct sound into her voice.
Yeah, what was it that did it for me? I'll tell you what it was for me was the... Because it starts off very... How do you describe a song without like playing it?
Exactly, this is a problem that I've had.
Kind of low key, just like bomb, like, and So it's very kind of minimal instrumentation, and then it's just like bang, in comes Zaz with her. She's got quite a sort of jazzy kind
raspy.
Yeah, it's yeah
quality to her voice.
Yeah, but yeah, I want to say. Like, I want to name, like, another famous jazz singer at this point, but I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Wow. Ella Fitzgerald.
I was going to say, everyone always says, oh, she sounds just like Ella Fitzgerald, or it's Ella Fitzgerald. Everything always comes back to Ella Fitzgerald, and I just think that's too easy to just throw the Ella Fitzgerald name around just to sound
Nina Simone.
Talking about. Nina Simone, same thing. She probably does, like, sound like someone else. I'm not even going to attempt to, like... Anyhow, the point is, she's got a very...
Who's the person you're not going to attempt?
No, because I don't know.
Oh, right,
what
okay.
I'm saying is that I'm not going to pretend that I'm knowledgeable about jazz singers than I actually am, because I don't really know anything about jazz singers.
Okay.
So there we go. Anyway, so she comes in, like, bang, with, like... the first words might actually be...
Eblouis par la nuit.
But what it was to me, it was the cymbal crescendos, and I think there's a Hammond organ in there as well.
Wow.
Just the combination of the cymbal crescendos that kind of, I don't know, there's this sense of like. Drama or something there.
It's see, just... that's really interesting because I missed all of that when I listened to it.
Right.
You see, and I was just listening to the words.
Okay. I never listened. So I'm not a lyrics person.
Interesting.
So I'm always.
Sorry. Like... Whoa. When you say you're not. You listen to a song, how just. Well, no, but I mean, like, when you listen to a song, you say, oh, I really like that song. Do you not like the words or the message of the song?
No. Isn't that weird? So I'm. For me, it's always primarily, whether I like a song or not, is always based primarily on
the sound,
the tune, the music, the melody, the harmonies, whatever, the instrumentation. It's never about the lyrics.
Oh.
I know. Isn't that funny?
That is a bit funny.
Yeah, so it is more about I like the instrumentation. I like, it was very, what's the word? Minimal, but just kind of. It's very effective with just a simple amount of instrumentation. And
very interesting.
It's beautifully put.
Beautifully put, Andy. Yes. And the words are very poetic too.
See, I don't get the words because I don't speak French, so it's all.
I can't remember them all because I haven't got them written down here. But
John, it's all French to me.
It's all French to you. Classic. Right. Well, thanks very much indeed for that.
That's okay.
Great.
You're most welcome.
Thank you very much. With all that talk of how much I love the lyrics, I thought I better just mention the reasoning why. It's basically down to the language and the poetry used. So it's, if I just read it out. Ébloué par la nuit, à coups de lumière mortelle, à frôler les bagnoles, les yeux comme des têtes d'épines, je t'ai attendu 100 ans, dans les rues en noir et blanc, tu es venu en sifflant. A-t-il aimé la vie ou la regardé juste passer? De nos nuits de fumette, il ne reste presque rien que tes cendres au matin. À ces mètres remplis de vertiges de la vie, à la prochaine station, petite européenne, mets ta main, descend là, au-dessus de mon cœur, ébloui par la nuit, à coups de lumière mortelle. It's very poetic, the literal translation. Blinded by the night, à coups de lumière mortelle, a shot of deadly light. Grazing the cars, à frôler les bagnoles, grazing the cars, les yeux comme des têtes d'épines, eyes like pinheads. Je t'ai attendu 100 ans. I waited for you 100 years. Dans les rues en noir et blanc, in the streets in black and white. And then the last line of the chorus: Tu es venu en sifflant. You came whistling. So it doesn't make too much sense, but it's just the it's very very poetic. Put it that way. Ébloui par la nuit, Zaz, check it out. So one of my all-time favourite shops in France is a chain of shops which cater to homeware. This chain is called Maison du Monde. So literally translated, Houses of the World. They are all over France. There's quite a few in the Paris region. My very first experience of this shop was in Châtelet-les-Halles, which is a big shopping centre in the centre of Paris. And then later, myself and my hubby were regular customers at the Val d'Europe store in Marne-la-Vallée near Disneyland. So you might be thinking, well, what's special about a homeware shop? So in the UK, off the top of my head, there are nice homeware shops, for example, Habitat. I suppose, would IKEA come under the homeware? I don't know. Dorothy Perkins, Laura Ashley. And generally, these shops, they have like the latest trends, the latest styles, like latest fashions. And they usually, you know, it's either done by collection or by the time of year or the season. I don't know. But the reason why I love Maison du Monde is it categorises its products by colour, which I think is so unusual. So you're walking around the store, and it's the same in every single store, and there'll be a whole section in blue. So you'll have all different styles and collections, all with the predominant colour blue in, for example. And it would be, you know, there'll be a layout of a room, a living room or a kitchen or a bathroom, and it'll all be in that colour, which I think's great if you need something, or if you have certain colours at home, or if you think, oh, that'll go with, you know, in a certain room. They tend to have, like the title would suggest, homewares from all around the world. So, for example, we own a Moroccan-style lamp, which was purchased there. And then we have some, I think, like Mexican kind of design plates. We have a dinner service with capital cities on there. I think we had Rome, London and Paris, and they've got fantastic designs on them. Another thing is the choice. Usually when we go around a store, there'll be, you know, one or two items which you really like the look of, which you'd really like. When we walk around these stores, you know, we want literally every single thing in sight, and we have to really rein it in and control ourselves with our spending. The good news is they have branched out, so they have gone global. They, for for a, quite a long period of time, they had franchises in all the Debenhams stores in the UK. Very, very sadly, obviously, the Debenhams have now gone, and the stores, the franchise with it. The good news is they do still do mail order to the UK. I know they have got shops still in other European countries. I'm not sure about the US. If anyone's listening in the US, please let me know if you have Maison du Monde over there. Which has just made me think of another shop which we love in the US, which is actually quite similar. Bed Bath & Beyond. Anyway, if you're ever in France and you want to check out this shop, we definitely recommend it. Check out their website as well. Just to give you a flavour of what they offer. Anyway, hope you enjoyed that little tip. Dish of the episode. So my dish of the episode this time has to be an absolute quintessential dish which most people have tried in the world. It's quiche Lorraine. So for anyone who doesn't know, this is a open egg-based savoury flan or tart that has cheese and bacon in it. So the origins of the dish, as far as I know, the word quiche comes from the German word Kuchen, which is cake. And then it's got sort of translated or developed into the French word quiche. And Lorraine comes from the Alsace-Lorraine region of France, which is close to the German border. So originally the main ingredients were just the pâte, the pastry, then the eggs, and some kind of dairy. Some people make it with milk, some people make it with cream. When I was living in France, I was taught to make it with crème fraîche, actually. So I've always done it that way. And then you add, so you basically mix up the wet ingredients in a bowl, add some seasoning, pepper and salt and pepper, and then any herbs you want. So the ideal herbs for this is mixed herbs or Herbe de Provence. Blind bake the pastry, cook off some bacon or lardon, which the French use, which is basically chopped up bacon. Add it to the pastry and then pour on the liquid on top. And then add cheese to the top. And it also sinks into the liquid as well. And then bake it in an oven, basically. There's many variations that can be made now with all different types of meat and fish. A nice one is with goat's cheese. People put vegetables in it as well. It has now spread throughout the world. One of the stories I heard was that in World War II, the UK soldiers actually discovered this when they were in France and then brought it back to the UK and showed people in the UK how to make it. So that's how that spread, apparently. I don't know if it's true or not. This is a very quick and easy dish to make. You'll find this in nearly every single French bistro or bar. You usually accompany it with a salad and of course a glass of wine. And my taste buds are literally tingling just talking about this now. So I think I might go and have a little cook in the kitchen. Okay, so a little bit of culture again. This time, I'm just going to very quickly talk about Vincent van Gogh. So he is a Dutch painter. The reason why I'm talking about him is because of his love of France. So he lived and died in France and was part of the Impressionist movement. So one of my favourite paintings of his is the Sunflowers, Le Tournesol, which he painted in 1887. He did quite a few versions of these, I think about four different versions. The original one, which he did in Paris. The original ones, I think he did, were lying down. And then later on, he did his more recognisable ones in the vase. I love this picture because it's so full of life. It's so colourful. It brightens up your day. It brings the emotions of summer. I know there's a few versions in museums around the world. The version I know is in the National Gallery in London. I'm sure there must be one in Paris. I can't think, actually. There is, however, at one of my favourite museums in Paris, which isn't the Louvre. It's the Musée d'Orsay, which is a fantastic art gallery, which is set in on the site of an old station, railway station. So the tracks are built into the structure of the building, and you can go down into the tracks to view the paintings. One of the famous ones there is the church. I don't know if, for those of you who know Vincent van Gogh's work, one of his famous works is a church, which still exists, which is in a small town about 17 miles northwest of Paris called Auvers-sur-Oise. I was very fortunate to, when I lived in France, to go and visit this town. And for any fans of Vincent van Gogh, I would highly recommend to go and do this. It's like a day trip from, if you are staying in Paris, it's like a day trip out. I mean, you can obviously stay closer to it if you wanted, but it's definitely, definitely worth the visit. So this is the town where he lived. He only lived there for actually 2 months, but I think incredibly in 2 months, and he died there as well, actually, but in 2 months, he painted 80 pictures, which I think is mind-blowing, to be honest. I can't even work that out. That's 40 a month. That's more than one a day, isn't it? That's madness. Anyway, and a lot of his famous works you will recognise walking around this town. So you've got the doctor's house, you've got the church, you've got the town hall, you've got the wheat fields, a very famous picture of the wheat fields, and then his house, of course, which wasn't, it still exists today, which they've turned into a museum. It was like an inn, an auberge at the time, but it's now his museum dedicated to him, which I knew it was there. I didn't really know what to expect too much. But when you walk upstairs to his bedroom, you suddenly find yourself face to face with the chair that you recognise from one of his paintings, one of his most famous paintings as well, the little chair with the woven straw seat on it. So that's my recommendation for this episode for a museum to visit. If you like Vincent van Gogh's work, if anyone's been there, let me know what you think, what you thought. And for anyone who hasn't, I highly recommend it. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Tune in again in 2 weeks' time, where I will be reviewing a thriller. Don't faint, it's not a comedy. It's not a French comedy for once. And a classic hit from, I think it was the 70s or it could be the 80s. I'll look it up for next time, by the fabulous France Gall. So let me know what you're getting up to this Easter time. Either send me a message if you're listening to this on Anchor. If you just click the voice message button, it'll come straight through to me. Or send me an email. It's all French to me at outlook.com. Or give me a follow on Instagram. The handle is It's All French 2. See you next time. Et à bientôt.